The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome. It's nice to be back, and thank you, Neil, for putting that into the chat box. If anybody's new, to join that forum as a way in which you can connect with people outside of this time, outside of this weekly meeting, or daily meeting, I should say. So I thought I would kick us off with a very short quote by Jeff Foster, who is a teacher, spiritual teacher, not a Buddhist teacher per se, but teaches about awakening. And I thought this was a very provocative and interesting quote that he has. It goes like this. There are two core fears: losing what you have and not getting what you want. There is one solution: falling in love with where you are. Interesting, right? Oh, so much interest to hear about. Can we boil down all of our fears to losing what you have and not getting what you want? There might be a way in which we can do that. I was kind of thinking about this before. We have like fear of abandonment or fear of intimacy, or, you know, some of these more generalized or maybe even deep fears that, you know, so many people have. Of course they have, as opposed to fear of spiders or something like this. I don't know if everything fits into these two buckets, losing what you have, not getting what you want. But I think it's helpful if we know about some of our fears to have this inquiry, to have this question. Is this fear based around not getting something that I want? And if so, what is it that I want? Like, what is it? Or is it losing something that's really important to me? And to have this inquiry, what is important to me? So much so that it's kind of like creating this fear that if I lose this, it's going to be really difficult. So that alone is, I think, really powerful and an interesting place to explore and maybe feel into. Maybe it's not a logical explanation. Maybe there isn't a clear answer, but maybe there's more of a gut feeling or a sense. What are we afraid of? And what is it that we are afraid of losing or we don't want to have? And then the second part of this quote, there is one solution, like a single solution for all these fears: falling in love with where you are. Contentment, happiness, equanimity, no longer seeking. Because reflecting on this, there's a way this, we could say this kind of wish that things, or this drive of always looking for something else, or things have to be better, or they're not quite right, I need more, things have to change. So much underlies or is this some of the dissatisfaction we have with our lives. The Buddhas call this dukkha, right? Suffering, just this general sense of things aren't quite right. But we might say that there's some of that is this fear is maybe underneath it. Or is what's fueling that, some of these fears, fueling this dissatisfaction. Maybe not, but I think this is also a really rich place to explore. And then the solution of falling in love with where you are. I'm interpreting falling in love as appreciating, being okay with, contentment. And these words aren't as sexy or provocative as enlightenment, awakening, or something like this, but what would it be like to have this, maybe I could say something like radical contentment. Things are just okay the way they are. They don't have to be different. So I'm tying together these ideas that fears underline a lot of our wishing for things to be different. We want to make sure we don't lose something, or we're trying to protect it. Or we want to try to gain something, so we're trying to get something. But what if we just allow all that to quiet and just be content with what we have, love what we have? And I think part of the way to practice with this, at least for myself, is to kind of get out of the conceptual and just get into the actual experience of this moment. This moment, not the next moment, this moment. Sure, the list is infinite on what things that we think we should have or that we don't want. You know, if we start thinking about it, then I should have more yachts. I should have more private islands. I should have, you know, I'm just saying this to kind of have an extreme. But what if we just think for this, just this precise moment, just to fall in love with that? It's okay. It's a precise moment. I'm here. Things are okay. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but they're okay. So I would say loving kindness practice is a way in which kind of helps soften our hearts, help open our hearts in such a way that maybe some of this contentment can arise. Some of this sense of it's okay can arise, so that the fear isn't pushing us around so much. Loving kindness practice is creating the conditions in which the heart and the mind can relax and soften and open and find some contentment. Here's that quote again. There are two core fears: losing what you have and not getting what you want. There is one solution: falling in love with where you are. So let's do some meditation practice. Help us falling in love with where you are. So taking a posture that feels comfortable, has some alertness, as well as some ease. Feeling into the posture. Feeling into what does it feel like to have this body at this moment. Maybe to support connecting with the body, we'll do a little bit of a body scan. Allowing the attention to rest on the head. Noticing any areas of tension or tightness. Can they be there? Can we allow them to be there? Not insisting that they go away. They are here already, so can we just allow that? checking in with the face, especially around the eyes and the jaw, the mouth. The neck. The shoulders. Making sure they're far away from the ears. So often we raise our shoulders when we're a little bit tense. Feeling into the upper back, the lower back, the chest, the belly, feel the pressure of the body where we're sitting and the buttocks. Upper legs. Lower legs. Feet. Feel the feet, or tune into the feet touching the ground, or whatever it is they're touching, feeling connected and grounded. The arms. And the hands. Noticing what the hands are touching, whether it's soft or rough or smooth, warm or cool. And then, what is it like to have hands? What's the experience of the hands? This might be some tingling, maybe a little bit of pulsing, or is there an interior experience of the hands as opposed to what the hands are touching? Without straining, if this doesn't make sense, perfectly fine. And then we can rest the attention on the experience of breathing, the movement of the abdomen or chest. We're feeling the air going in and out of the nose. When the mind wanders, no reason to make it a big deal. Doesn't have to be a problem. We just begin again. with the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, I always like to start where it's easy. Sometimes even finish where it's easy, even the only practice is where it's easy. That is, with a lovable being, furry family members, imaginary kittens, puppies, babies, somebody you have a relationship with, somebody who has really supported you or made a difference in your life that you maybe only know through their teachings or writings, whomever it might be. Can you connect with this lovable being? Connect perhaps with a visual image, or maybe there's more just a felt sense. Some people like to connect with the warm-heartedness they have for this lovable being. Sometimes that's available, sometimes not. Perfectly fine if it's not there. And then to help us stay connected with this lovable being, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I know sometimes when we do loving kindness practice, we feel this, sometimes this pressure to do loving kindness for the difficult people in our lives as a way to solve a problem, or hopefully make it be different, relationship be different. What would it be like just love this moment? Just doing loving kindness for a lovable being without any sense that we should be doing a different practice or doing anything else except just loving kindness practice with a lovable being. Jeff Foster writes, there's one solution, falling in love with where you are. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend our practice to include ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves. Sometimes we forget and need to be reminded. I've been loving kindness for ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Jeff Foster writes, there are two core fears: losing what you have and not getting what you want. There is one solution: falling in love with where you are. What would it be like to fall in love with where you are? Just this moment. Doesn't have to be forever, but just this moment. And then to extend our loving kindness to somebody we don't know. Maybe somebody on the Zoom call, somebody you see occasionally in the neighborhood, somebody with whom we don't have a relationship. Bringing them to mind. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. This idea of just loving this moment. Maybe love is too ambitious. Maybe that sounds scary or such a high thing, but what is it like to have a certain amount of contentment? I think the way to approach this is just for this moment. One moment at a time, right? If we start to kind of get more into the thinking, the conceptual, and away from the experiential, then we can, of course, spin out all kinds of stories of all the things that are wrong and need to be taken care of and should be different. But is there a way that we also can tune into just one moment and how that's okay? And that can help us with our fears, help us with I don't know, is there anything that it can't help us with? So again, this quote from Jeff Foster, there are two core fears, losing what you have and not getting what you want. And there's one solution, falling in love with where you are. So I'd like to put you into some breakout groups, some small groups that you have an opportunity to talk about this. Does this make sense to you? Or maybe you feel like, oh, this is too reductionistic and too simplified. And I don't know who these people are that are thinking that it's a good idea. Or maybe you're a little bit intrigued. Huh. Can we reduce our fears to those type of things? And if we cultivate a sense of contentment, equanimity, ease, okayness, well-being, love, will that help address some of our fears? And recognizing that our fears are so much what drives our sense of dissatisfaction, our sense of things being not quite right. Not exclusively, but I think it is a worthwhile exploration to see what are the relationship between fears and dissatisfaction, or fears and having a sense of love. Okay, so put you into groups of three or four and be there for 13 or 14 minutes. So I'll give you an opportunity to talk about these things. And it can be helpful if I'm just doing a little bit of rebalancing. There we go. Some people, you know, leave, and then I don't want to have people just in a room by themselves. But part of the small group discussion is an opportunity to maybe show up in a way for other people, a way in which they can feel heard and seen. So maybe it's less an opportunity for you to demonstrate how much you know and how wise you are or something like this, and more an opportunity to extend this loving kindness to perhaps some perfect strangers in a room, small breakout room, where you talk about this idea of connection between fears and falling in love with where you are. If it's helpful, you can go just in a circle where you just say one point, and then it goes to the next person, they say one point, then it goes to the next person, they say one point, and then comes back around. I think that's a great way to do this, so that kind of level the playing field a little bit between introverts and extroverts, and no pressure to be saying the most profound, wise thing. Instead, maybe there's just something that bubbles up for you. And it doesn't have to be the most coherent, logically laid out. But is there a way in which you can share from the heart, might I say? And maybe it resonates with other people's hearts, even if the logic isn't perfect. We can give that gift to each other that we doesn't have to be perfect. And if it's helpful, you can go in alphabetical order. Okay, here we go. Okay, so thank you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Marie-Christine, do you want to say that comment again?
Sure. I was saying that love seems to be a tall order as far as I'm concerned, whereas contentment is much more achievable.
Yeah. Whereas Jeff Foster, his quote is love. But I was saying, well, what if we kind of take it down a notch? Maybe you just have this word contentment. I don't know if that came up for anybody else. But
for me, love also comes together with joy and happiness. Mm. And contentment is very different for me.
Mm. Do you want to say a little bit, how is contentment then? If it's not like joy and happiness, what is it like?
It's embracing the moment, regardless of the moment, being with it in the moment. And I have this visual idea of me putting my arms around it and holding
it. Nice, nice, nice. And maybe I'll say for me, contentment also feels kind of quiet and settled, like, yeah. Whereas joy and happiness can be a little bit more energetic and bubbly and effusive and kind of maybe energy going out. So I'm just kind of experientially a little bit different. Yeah. We're at the top of the hour, but if somebody would like to make a quick comment on how that was for you and or the small group or Jeff Foster's quote or something. No? Okay.
Oh, I'll throw in one thing, right? Yeah. Towards the end of the session, it occurred to me, we were all talking about how happier we would be if we could only do what was in that quote. Which, of course, was quite ironic.
That's fantastic, Neil. I love this, the irony of that. That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. All right. Something for us to reflect on. That's great. Well, what a pleasure it is to be back and to be seeing you all. And if you'd like, you can unmute and we could say goodbye in kind of an unruly way. So goodbye and thank you.
Welcome back, Diana. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Good to see you, Diana. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
Hi, Trudy. Hi, Trudy.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Aurora.
Bye.
Nice meeting you, Chris.
Nice. See you guys next week.